Chapter 4. Some Terrible News. The next day, I caught a coach for my hometown. I felt very guilty about Joe's visit. I had not treated him like I should have. I knew that when I went to visit Miss Havisham, I should go and stay with Joe to make up for his terrible time in London. But I also knew that Joe would feel awkward. He would be worried that his dirty old house would not be good enough for me anymore. I decided to stay at the Blue Boar Inn in the village instead. I knew that I should visit Joe first. However, I went to Miss Havisham's house. She adopted Estella, and I am sure she has been helping me too. She must like me and want me to marry Estella, I thought. I felt better every time I thought of Estella. I arrived at the house and rang the doorbell. I was very surprised because a new employee answered the door. It was Orlick. Joe must have fired him. Orlick looked at me with scorn and said, "There are changes everywhere in the world." I ignored him and entered the house. Miss Havisham was sitting quietly in a chair in the banquet room, and standing beside the fire was a woman I had never seen before. "Miss Havisham, I heard that you wished to see me, so I came as soon as I could." On hearing my voice, the woman by the fire turned around. It was Estella. She had grown up and become incredibly beautiful. I felt as if I had not changed at all. I was still the same country boy. Estella looked at me, and Miss Havisham asked her, "Has he changed, Estella?" "Yes, he has changed very much." Then Estella left the room. Miss Havisham said, "She is graceful and beautiful, isn't she?" Her next words frightened me very much. She took my hand and pulled me close to her. In my ear, she whispered, "Love her, love her, love her. If she loves you, love her. If she rejects you, love her. And if she breaks your heart, love her." I was so surprised that I didn't know how to reply. "Pimp, I adopted her to be loved. I raised her to be loved. I want you to love her, love her." Miss Havisham seemed like she had gone crazy. She pointed to the door. "Go to her, Pip." She went into the garden. "Go and talk to her. Walk with her," she ordered me. I left Miss Havisham and went to find Estella. She was standing in the garden with her back to me. I awkwardly spoke to her. She was like a fine lady in the way she walked and talked, and I felt like a little boy beside her, instead of the true gentleman I wanted to be. She showed no interest in me. I certainly knew that she had not thought of me like I did of her. We walked a little further through the garden, and she suddenly said to me, "I have a beating heart inside me, which can be stabbed or shot, but I have no heart which can feel love, compassion, or tenderness." She spoke to me in a very cold voice. It was cold and empty-sounding, like the rooms in Miss Havisham's house. But when I looked into her face, I saw something familiar about her in another person I had seen. I tried to think where, but I could not. After my visit to Miss Havisham's house, I left to return to London immediately. I did not visit Joe. I knew I would not be able to talk to Joe like I wanted to, because my mind was filled with thoughts of Estella. Miss Havisham's words kept ringing in my ears. A few months later, I received some terrible news. My sister died, so I returned to Joe's house to find it filled with people from the village. Everyone was sad. I found Joe sitting in a chair in one corner, looking very grim. He was dressed in black. I went over to him and asked, "Dear Joe, how are you?" He looked up and said, "Oh, Pip, it's good to see you. I'm so glad you came. Do you remember when she was full of energy and youth?" Then he wept in that cold, empty corner of the room. Later, Joe, I, and the rest of the village went to the graveyard to bury my sister next to my mother and father and to say farewell to her. Even though it was a very sad day, The birds sang in the trees, and a very light breeze blew to lighten our heavy hearts. After my sister's funeral, I returned to London. My life continued on, and finally, my 21st birthday came. Like I had expected, Mr. Jaggers came to tell me that my yearly income would be much larger now. I had also expected to find out who my benefactor was. However, Mr. Jaggers didn't tell me, and so I asked, "I would like to know who very kindly gives me all this money." Mr. Jaggers replied, "You will find out when your benefactor wants you to know." I was very confused. I was absolutely sure that it was Miss Havisham, and I couldn't understand why she didn't want me to know. Even though Mr. Jaggers came with good news that day, he also had some bad news. He told me that Drummle was courting Estella. I was completely taken aback and left to visit Miss Havisham the next day. I arrived quite early in the day, and when I entered the house, I found Miss Havisham sitting next to a fire. Estella was sitting on a stool doing some knitting. When I saw her, she was obviously upset. She threw her knitting to one side and stood up impatiently. This bothered Miss Havisham, who cried, "What are you doing? Are you sick of me?" Estella answered in a dim voice, "I am just tired of myself." "Tell me the truth. I know you are tired of me," demanded the old woman. Estella did not reply, and this made Miss Havisham even angrier. "You are so cold. You have a stone for a heart." This surprised Estella, who replied, "What? You think I'm cold?" "Why, Estella, you are," Miss Havisham told her. Every time I had seen them together, they had been very calm. It surprised me very much to see them arguing. Estella now replied, "Well, if I am cold, it's because you made me that way. You can take all the blame for it." Miss Havisham was quite upset, and she said to me, "Pip, she is so proud, isn't she? Didn't I give her all the love I could?" "Well, who taught me to be cold and hard?" Estella snapped. "It is your fault." "But I didn't teach you to be this way to me," the old woman said sadly. She put her arms out, wanting Estella to come to her. "You taught me that love is an enemy," Estella said quietly. The two women said nothing to each other for a few moments. It seemed like the argument was over. Miss Havisham sat in her chair, looking very sad, and Estella stood by the fire. Estella went back to her stool, sat down, and picked up her knitting. Now that everything had calmed between the two, I thought that it was my best opportunity to ask Estella about Drummle. "Why are you spending time with Drummle? He is selfish, lazy, stupid, and has a bad temper. You deserve better than that," I asked her. She did not look at me when she replied. "Moths and many ugly insects fly to the light of a candle. Is the candle to blame?" "No, but you can help it," I said. She stopped knitting and looked into the fire. I sat down to look into her face. It was my chance to tell her how I felt. "Estella, I love you. I have always loved you since the first time I saw you," I told her. "I know that you will never love me or want to be with me, but I love you anyway. Your words mean nothing to me. I told you that I have no heart that can feel love. I warned you about this once." She was right. "I am spending time with Bentley Drummle. He will be here tonight to have dinner with us," she told me. I asked her, "Yes, but do you love him? Are you going to marry him?" I greatly feared Estella's answer. I knew that if she married Drummle, she would regret it for the rest of her life. "I told you before that I cannot love, but I will marry him," she said. I felt my life had just been shattered into 1,000 pieces. "Estella, please don't marry him," I begged her. "Miss Havisham only taught you that love is the enemy because her own heart was broken. She only wanted revenge. You will be so unhappy with Drummle." "I will marry him whether you like it or not. It has nothing to do with you or my adoptive mother. It is my decision and my mistake to make," Estella said. I felt very angry and I shouted, "Dremel is an idiot. He doesn't deserve you." Estella took my hand and said, "We will never understand each other, but at least let's try to be friends." I took her hand and pressed my lips to it. My tears rolled down my cheeks and onto her beautiful, soft white skin.